chapter 1. I want to say this. If any of you other men are willing to pray, let me know if you would. It doesn't have to be the same few every time, but I don't want to embarrass anybody by just calling you out at the last minute. So if any of you other gentlemen are willing to get on that rotation, that'd be great. And then also, this coming Sunday is our dinner on the grounds. So don't forget about that. We'll be eating lunch together and then having an afternoon service, and we'll be done early for the day. Job chapter 1. We'll pick up here where we left off last time. We're not going to get as far as I had hoped, because as I continue to prepare and run references, and that one passage from Ecclesiastes is bothering me. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he sought out and set in order many proverbs. And seeking out some of these things and setting them in order is easier said than done. Some of this stuff I know in my head and the way my brain works, and the Lord will give me stuff and give me stuff and give me stuff, and before I know it, I'm so buried, I'm trying to figure out, man, I got to cut some stuff back. I don't want to bury people. But this Bible, man, I am telling you, this thing is so deep. And it goes so far beyond what we can even comprehend. It's amazing. And I don't want to lose you tonight, but I've done my best to try to set some things in order here. And we're going to park it here for at least this week and maybe again next week, because I want to deal with something that actually, for whatever reason, as silly as it is, it's a controversial subject. If you look down there at verse number 6, it says this: Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And then from there, you know what happens. The Lord said to Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear not God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, we got to back up here for a minute. Let's pray before we go any farther. Lord, I love you. I know we've already prayed, but I ask you now to help me, Father, be with my mind, be with my thoughts, calm my spirit. I pray that as we go through these things, you bring back to my memory the things that I've looked at, the things that I've studied. I pray you'd help me to say what needs to be said and not to say anything that doesn't. I pray that you give your people understanding in some of these things so that we can better understand you most of all. Secondly, we can better understand our adversary, the devil, who walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then, Lord, we can also better understand ourselves, so we can be careful, and we can be conformed to your image, and please you, and follow you, and be safe. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So now, obviously, here, as you can see, there's some pretty crazy things going on. Right there in verse number 6, it says, The day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. That's where the controversy comes in right there. And I don't know why it is, but otherwise Bible-believing guys who would never change your Bible, they run into some of these passages. And when they hit some of this stuff, all of a sudden then they start changing the Bible. Although they might not change the words, they start changing what's obviously said, what's obviously being taught. And when you do that, you're on very, very satanic and dangerous ground. It starts out at the beginning with, Yea, hath God said. Let me just say this real quick. The Bible is God's Word. Duh, right? Understatement of the century. The Bible is God's Word. Therefore, there are going to be things in this book you will live and die and never know. But when you get there, you'll know. There is always things in here that are going to just make your mind twist up into pretzels. But those questions are always there. I believe with all my heart God has the answers. And I know what I see in the Bible. I don't change anything that I see. It's just God said it, that's it. So what you got here in this verse, nobody has a problem with the end of this verse, verse 6. And Satan came also among them. Nobody debates whether or not Satan says, the Lord says to Satan, Satan and the Lord go back and forth about Job. That's not an issue for anybody. The issue is over these sons of God. And the reason is because there's some other passages in your Bible that we'll delve into next week. There's passages in Daniel, there's passages in Genesis that are going to show you some very, very frightening things regarding those sons of God. When they get to those passages, they say, well, the sons of God are the godly. They're the godly line of Seth, and the daughters of men are the ungodly line of Cain. Okay, great, but who defines the terms? That's what it boils down to, is our definition of terms. Who's defining the terms? You just assumed the sons of God are the godly line that are... I've heard preachers even preach that this is a godly line, a godly group of people coming together for a worship meeting, and Satan walks into the worship meeting among them and begins to have a conversation with God in the worship meeting. Well, that's all fine and dandy, but that's not really necessarily holding true with not just this passage, but other passages in your Bible where spirits are before the Lord and He says, all right, what do you guys, who's going to go mess him up? And they said, how about if we be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets? You're going to tell me that's a holy angel? And God says, all right, go ahead. And God gives him the go ahead. God doesn't say, that wasn't God's idea. God didn't say, do that. God didn't say, I want you. God doesn't tempt a man with sin, cannot be tempted with sin, neither tempteth he any man. But when those spirits are there before the Lord, He's saying, what are we going to do about this? And they go, I got an idea. I'll go be a lion spirit in the tongue of His prophets. And God says, go ahead. That shows you that even those fallen spirits, it's hard to comprehend all this, but even those fallen spirits, while they're fighting against God, are still at some level, they got to get permission from God when it comes to messing with a child of God. And when God gives them leash, He gives them leash for a purpose. You got to be really careful about this stuff. I just want you to know that. Your human nature and something in your human spirit will start to love this garbage. That junk came in the mail to me this week that the kid brought up to me, and it's the prophecy thing, and it's the JW garbage, you know. And what do they do to get your attention? The prophecies of Jesus, and they got a fake picture of Jesus on there, and then they got the bear with the ribs in his mouth and the lion with the wings, and they're trying to always get your attention and get people in because something in your human nature goes after all that dark stuff. That's a hook for them. You got to be very careful with that. But here we are, we go verse by verse through our Bible and we run into some of these things and we'll teach them as we hit them. So the sons of God come to present themselves before the Lord. The question is, who are these guys? Who are the sons of God? Now, I began to show you last week that you can't be called a son of God unless you've been a direct creation of God. John chapter 1, verse 12. To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You get the power to become a son of God when you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when you become a son of God. Up until then, I showed you Genesis chapter 5. We ran the references last week. You are procreation. You are a son of Adam. Adam begat children in his likeness after his image. You know what you've always been told? We're all created in the image of God. Right? We're all sons of God. We're all daughters of God. We're all the family of God. Where do you find that in the Bible? That all mankind is the family of God. That is not Bible. Jesus Christ is looking at people and He said, you're of your father the devil, the lust of your father ye will do. He was a liar from the beginning, bode not in the truth. He is a liar and the father of it. And He said, you're liars too and you're murderers and you won't abide in the truth. You're children of the devil. How can you say we're all sons of God and daughters of God and we're all the family of God? You've heard that stuff so many times, the best way to learn is repetition. So you've heard it repeated and 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 repeated till you believe it without ever having looked to the scriptures to say, where do we get that from? And so you just have this knee-jerk reaction that, oh, we're all made in the image of God. Oh, we're all children of God. Oh, we're all sons of God. No, we aren't. Now, when God created Adam and Eve in the garden, He created them after His own image, right? You know what they fell from? They fell from the image of God. You want an interesting study? Take your Bible and run images. run that word images, you're going to find that most of the time, God is constantly and consistently warning against images. There's something about that word image. God even tells you, them in the Old Testament, not to bow down and worship idols. Not to make anything after their own image or after the image of an animal. Not to worship them. And Paul tells you in the New Testament not to worship idols, because when you worship idols, you're worshiping devils. Literally, those idols that they bow down and pray to are possessed of demons, and those devils are getting worship through the rock and through a stone and through something a man created with his own hands. How about that? That's scary. Go with us over to Scotland. You think I'm crazy? You've got, I believe it's the statue of John Knox on one side of the road and the father of modern philosophy on the other side of the road. Nobody even knows who John Knox is. The church that he pastored, that was, it's sitting right there. Nobody's even going into that cathedral. Beautiful, great, big, beautiful church. Right across the street, everybody is flocking across the street to walk by this big statue of Plato and to worship that thing and to kiss his toe and to rub his toe for good luck, so much so that the toe of that statue is polished bright from people kissing it and rubbing the foot. There's a statue right there of a guy who is a great man of God. Nobody even knows who he is. Something strange going on in this world, man. I mean, something real strange going on in this world, where normal, educated, intelligent, good people think that walking by a stinking stone and rubbing its foot is going to give them good luck. Thinking that bowing down and praying to an idol, praying to a crucifix, praying, touching beads, that something's wrong, man. Where, I mean, you're an intelligent human being, and you're praying to something you can destroy. Somebody has to be blinded by the God of this world. Something spiritual is going on. Something dark is happening. Something wicked. Now go back to Genesis chapter 3. I want you to see this. This is an important point to get. Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 1. It's amazing to me how men can be so blind. I'll be preaching a little bit on that Sunday morning. The blindness of the religious crowd. The blindness of theology. Jesus Christ says not to pray vain repetitions as the heathen do. And quote-unquote Christians, which is Roman Catholicism, says pray in vain repetitions. Forget what God said. Forget what the Bible said. And intelligent, educated people go ahead and do that. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, I'm not going to belabor that point because we've already gone over that a lot. But to refresh your memory, he took a truth, kind of, and spun it in her psyche in such a way as to make it look real bad, make it look positive on one end, yea, when he's going against God, which is negative, and then say, did God say you can't eat of every tree? Well, no, God said, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is in the midst, thou shalt not eat of it, for the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely, say it out loud, die. That's what God said, right? Did she die that day? Well, she lived hundreds of years, but she did die that day. She fell from an image that she had. When her husband looked at her, he immediately knew what had happened because her image had changed. Now watch. So the devil's subtle. He's sneaky. And the woman, and this is really going to tie into Job as we start going through this. I'm telling you, folks, it's woven all throughout the book of Job. The subtleness and the sneakiness of the devil and how it gets you to think something is right. And by every way you can possibly see it, it is absolutely right. But it goes against the Word of God. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it. Now watch what she does. Neither shall ye touch it. She just added. All the devil had to do with people is just give them just a little bump. That's all he had to do. Just boop, like that. Folks, you realize that second to the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the number two prominent character throughout the Bible. Boy, the preachers won't touch this one with a 10-foot pole, though. They won't preach about this stuff. They won't show you this stuff. All he's got to do, because the devil's got so much control over him, when you start preaching against the devil or against them and against their religion, you get all kinds of enemies stirring up against you. All he had to do was just bump her like that, and as soon as he got her mind going, as soon as she stopped and gave him a little bit of attention and began to think about what he was saying and muse on that and begin to doubt God, all of a sudden from there she naturally just started adding to what God said and just ran with it. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, as soon as he knew she added to the word of God, he knew he had her. Ye shall not surely die. Is that positive or negative? It's not a trick question. Is that positive or that is very positive. You are not going to die. Oh, that preacher's crazy. God ain't going to judge you. Oh, Hebrews, you know that passage over there, that's the Jew in the tribulation only. You know, hyper-dispensationalists. Oh, 1 John 1:9, that's it only. That's not rightly dividing, that's hyper-dividing. Amen. Oh, that's not going to happen. I found a passage this week I've never seen in my life. And I've read it, I don't know how many times, but it never clicked. One of the things God said about them is, when you say it's not me doing it, in essence, when you say it's not me doing it, the bad time's coming on you, I'm going to crush you. When you get right with me, you're going to admit that you're wrong, I'm right, and I'm judging you. One of the number one things people do is say, well, that wasn't God. That's not God. That's not God judging me. When God really is judging them, that shows a hard and unrepentant heart, and God says, fine, I'm going to crush you. Talking to Israel. Verse 4, ye shall not surely die. Verse 5, for God doth know, knowledge, that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. You know what he was telling her? You're blind. In whom the God of this world did what? You know what he said to the Christian? He said, you're blind. He said to Eve, you're blind. You know what he says to these kids in here? You know what he tells you? All your parents are just such ogres. They're holding you back from all the fun. The devil's trying to blind your eyes, and right now they're open. Just try one. It ain't no big deal. Everybody's doing it. Oh, marijuana ain't the gateway drug. He's still working the same way he was working back in the garden. He's saying, oh, my mean ogre parents won't let me wear this, go there, do that, act like this, because they're so terrible, they're holding me back. When what they're doing is creating a great environment for you to grow up and develop in and be safe and do something with your life that's going to amount to something and avoid some heartbreak and pain and actually be successful if you'd shut up and listen to them. Amen. For God doth know the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, liar. And ye shall be as what? Do you see the small g? What's up with these gods? There is something about these gods. He said, you're going to be as gods, knowing what? Good and evil. No longer be as she was made in the image and likeness of God, right? Not a trick question. He's saying, you're not going to have that image anymore. You're going to get this image. And boy, we're going to have us a time. And she believed it. Look at this. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Out of his likeness into something else. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed themselves fig leaves together and made themselves and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Something happened. You know what happened? She was created in the image of God, and now in Genesis chapter 5, Adam and Eve are procreating. They're having children. You're born under a curse. You're born dead in trespasses and sins. Where do you find God creating anything dead? We're all the children of God. Well, yeah, when you were in your mother's womb, he knew you. But you're going to say that every single procreated individual on the planet was the plan of God? Ooh, why does it like just everybody just like you can think. It's okay. You can think. You don't have to just run with what you've already always been told. You can evaluate what you believe and what you think based on what God said. Now, here's the thing. He said, let us make man in our image, right? The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. These three are one. You know what humans are? You're still a trinity, a triunity, a trinity. When God created you, He created you in such a way that He could save you, which was His ultimate plan from the foundation of the earth. He knew what He was going to do before it ever happened. And He built you. When He created man in His image, He built man in such a way that He could deal with man, save man, and that man still, after his salvation, while in a sinful body, wouldn't lose the salvation that he had gotten because the way God structured you. Lost people still are a triunity. I'm not saying they're not. So, well, how does that work? I don't know. Ask God. Because some of this stuff, like I told you already. But you see in the Bible, and you know for a fact in the Bible, that you have a triunity. That God created man that way. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For the sake of time, I'm going to ask for a couple guys to help me here. I am going to ask, give me 1 second while you're turning there. Brian Stats, please grab Jude 10. Jude verse 10. I'm going to go to Ephesians 2. Dan, would you grab Genesis chapter 2 verse 7? Genesis 2, 7. All right, so watch this while you're here in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 36. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. All right. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. What's that saying? That's saying this. When you take a seed and you throw it in the ground, that seed does not bear fruit unless it lands in that ground and dies, right? And when that seed goes in the ground, that thing dies, it breaks out, the seed inside that husk comes up, and then something is there after the fact. You know what he's saying? Thou fool, that which thou sowest, what's the seed? Anybody know what's been sowed in you? The parable of the sower? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. There's a seed in you once you're saved, once you to then gave you power to become the sons of God, even of them that believe on his name. That's John 1. By the time you get to John chapter 3, he's saying you have to be born of the capital S spirit in your small s spirit, or you cannot be a child of God. You have to take the only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into your heart by His Holy Spirit through His Word. And when you do that, then you become a son of God. All right? Now, once that seed's in you, that thing's not going to bear fruit unless it die. And verse number 38, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, to every seed a body. Still talking about natural seed. As an illustration, all flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. They're stars, but they're not exactly alike, just like people aren't. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, your body. It is raised in incorruption, your glorified body. It is sown in dishonor. That's this nasty body. you die and just lay around for 24 hours. Dan's smiling because he's walked in on some scenes where, yeah, that thing's nasty, man. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. You get old, you get weak, you get feeble, you die. It's raised in power. It is sown a natural body. That's what everybody on the planet has, a natural body. There is, as a human being, natural instincts that we all just kind of know as human beings. Some things are very, very instinctive. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, watch it, Adam, was made a living soul. Brother, Genesis 2:7, please. That was the first man, Adam. What happened? God created him, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and boom, man becomes a living soul. Okay, now wait a minute. Every lost person on this planet, even when they're not born again, you know what they have from God? Breath of life. That's the triunity. They have fallen out of his image because they've chosen to follow their father, the devil. But God still left enough of himself in that, you know, the birds and the beasts have got a what? They're a dichotomy, not a trichotomy. They have a body and they have a... Where did they get the life from? The spirit from? God. Where did those trees get the spirit from? Where did that grass get the spirit from? This ain't the planet God created in the beginning. You know what this planet you're on is? And I don't, this is what I was saying. This thing just got so crazy, man. But I'll just kick it out there to you. Those of you that can grab it, grab it. You know what you're on? Procreation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, put Lucifer over it, said, this is yours, run it. Lucifer wasn't happy with it. He wanted to ascend. He said, I will be like the Most High. What did he want? God's image for himself. God crushed him, Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:2, God recreated the thing. This thing was procreated out of the first one, the original one, it just was. It just was. Where did it come from? It was. When God said it, boom, that was it. So now you're on a cursed planet. There's the Lucifer down there, God creates Adam, and God says, all right, Adam, here's what I want you to do. You reign over this thing. You're my son. He was a direct creation of God. Lucifer comes in and says, uh-uh. No way, man. I want you out of his image into mine. I want to win. So Lucifer begins right away to attack and to try to destroy and to try to bring down what God had made for fellowship with God. Maybe you just are starting to figure out where I'm going with this. He said, I don't want that fellowship with God. They're made in God's image. There's enmity between my seed and his seed. I got to do something to corrupt this seed. I got to stop this thing. Jude chapter 10, brother. But what they know naturally, these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in these they corrupt themselves. Right, brother? Did I get that right? What they know naturally as brute beasts. He is talking about lost men, and he's saying what lost men know naturally as brute beasts. You realize lost men, as saved men that won't follow God, will act like absolute animals, like brute beasts. Like doing things that's so heinous and so off the charts, man. This thinking guy killed his whole family. I just saw killed his kids, killed his wife. He put them on ice or something for a while. Had them in the house. Some guy in his mid-30s loaded them all up in his minivan, trying to take them to a different state and dump them. See a picture of that guy? He looks perfectly normal. You would never look at him and say he's off the hook. He'd do crazy things like that. All right, look back here at 1 Corinthians 15. The last Adam, the first man Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a what? Quickening spirit. You know who that is? Yeah. And you hath he what? Quickened, who were dead. You were dead? Who were dead? You were dead? I was alive when I got saved. No, you were dead. Well, how does that work? I was alive. No, you were dead in trespasses and sins. What are you talking about? I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. They're looking at him like he has lost it. Who is this kid? Don't forget, he died at 33 and a half. Who is this kid? He's come to me. I'm alive. See, they already knew about the breath of life. The breath of God's in my nostrils. I'm alive. No, you're dead. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. You know what they have? They've got the body that God gave them. It's dying because of the curse of sin. They've got the spirit, which is the breath of God. It is a natural spirit. Stay with me. We're almost done for tonight. I will move on to the next subject next week, but I'm not getting through all the verses I have on this. It's just not possible. So they have a spirit, but the spirit that's in them is it's a spirit of a man. It's a natural spirit. Just like a dog has a natural spirit to that dog. Kind of an interesting little story. I was out walking just a couple days ago. Grace was with me, and we're almost back to the house, and we're walking down the path there, and there's a dog coming at us with this girl, and they're both natural brute beasts, I guess. Anyways, the dog was walking the girl. That's the story. And so he's like, ah. And I knew from me to the doors to the back doors that are away, I knew that dog ain't going to like me. I just knew it. And she was all, oh, my baby, your baby, oh, baby, don't pull, baby, don't pull, baby, your baby, your baby, your baby, oh, my baby, baby, baby. And as we got closer to that dog, he'd been pulling the whole time, and he just dug down and just started, like, pulling, man. And I just, there was an instinct in me that knew when that dog was still from me to Brother Paul away, and there was an instinct in that dog that was coming after me. And so I locked eyes with the dog, and as I come like this, as soon as I step back, because I knew I'd been bit like three times in my life, once or twice, but once by a German Shepherd and twice by Bulldogs. And so I'm walking like this, I knew as soon as I stepped past him, that dog was coming at me. So I took the step past and I turned, and he went right up in my face. I mean, it was close. And she jerked him back. She said, it's okay, baby. It's okay, puppy. And my wife, I mean, I was going to kill the dog. She was going to kill the girl. That's how it was going down right then and there. She was like, it is not okay. You need to get that dog under control. And I'm like, let it go, honey. But I'm telling you, man, that dog, I was going to kick that dog in the esophagus. No question. Because there was an instinct in him, but there was an instinct in me. What is that? I have a spirit, and those animals have a spirit. God tells Noah that the fear of you and the dread of you. It's an instinctive thing. There's a spirit in a bird that tells it to go south. There's a spirit in a dog that tells it about fire hydrants. Capiche? You have an instinct. Lost people still have a spirit, but that spirit, according to God, is the spirit of a man. It is dead in trespasses and sins. The difference between an animal and a human is that you also have a soul. There is a piece of you, a dead spirit. What am I going to do with that? Your flesh. What does your flesh care about that book? Come on, man. What is your flesh? Really, your flesh? I can go get drunk, or I can read my Bible. I'll tell you what my flesh wants. I can go be lazy and go to sleep, watch a movie that's entertaining, do this, do that, do the other thing, or go read my Bible. Your flesh? Come on. You know what it is in you as a lost person that still has an ability to hear the voice of God and to feel the conviction of God and to recognize a need for God? He created you in such a way that when and if you fell, He'd have a way of getting to you. You fell out of His image. You need to understand that. You are born in the image. Lost people are born in the image of their parents. We're all in the image of God. I don't have time for the references. You can go look them up yourself. But the image of God comes in the face of Jesus Christ. What is that? God, whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of Christ, should shine unto them. Jesus Christ is that image. And what God wants from you and what God wants from me, you know what it is? It's for us to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. You know what this thing is a story of, folks? It's a story of being originally created in the image of God, falling from that image and being born under a sin curse, and then having a God send His own Son in the likeness of man. What? God sending His Son in the likeness of man. Let me just show you a couple of verses here. Go over to Colossians. Give me a second to find this thing. Because I'm skipping way ahead out of order and I had this thing all nailed down right in order. Start in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Where were you? Where did you get delivered from? The power of darkness. And hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Watch it. Who is the image of the invisible God. You see that? You get redemption through His blood. Power to become the sons of God. Forgiveness for your sins. How? Through Jesus Christ. The firstborn of every creature. Now, I'm not going to run the references. I'm just going to kick this to you again. We don't have the time. But here. Your JWs and some of these cults get all caught up on this thing about Jesus Christ being the firstborn. Right? And they get snafu'd on that. They say He wasn't eternal God. He wasn't the triunity. He wasn't one with the Father. He was a created being. That's what they say. And here's some of the verses they use to prove it. But that is not what this thing is talking about. You have multiple other passages. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He was, is, and is to come, the Almighty. I and my Father are one. And on and on and on you can go, showing that Jesus Christ is God. What this is He's the firstborn of every creature. He was the first begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What does that mean? The first one. That means there was no new birth until Jesus Christ came in the form of a man, in the likeness of a man. He took our likeness. Why? Because we lost His in order to bring us back to that image, back to that likeness, in order to beat the devil and what the devil had done. He did something, folks. I'm telling you, I'll show you in just a minute here. It was like the ultimate strategy, the ultimate chess game, the ultimate of wisdom and of power and of glory. It was an amazing thing what He did, and it was the polar opposite of what His adversary thought He was going to do. Like what I believe it's the Marine Corps. Do the unexpected. Do what your enemy doesn't think you're going to do, and you'll catch him off guard. And that is precisely what the God of the universe did in going against the second most powerful being that ever lived, Lucifer. And He sent His Son down there. And He's born. And the devil's like, all right, I got to snuff out the seed. But folks, they didn't get, the devil and the principalities and powers didn't get all that was going on. I'm going to show you. So, the firstborn of every creature, verse 16, for by Him were all things created. Well, there you go. Why do you say He was a created being when He was the Creator? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, who does it say that is right here? It says that's Jesus Christ. that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. You know what you were made for? Him. You know what the earth was made for? Him. The stars are made for? Him. The grass is made for? Him. The vegetables were made for? Him. The fruit trees are made for? Him. By the way, you keep believing things you just have always been told just because you believe them. Where did you see in Genesis that she ate an apple? It was not an apple that she was tempted with. And now people think that, you know, their apple products are proof that it was an apple. That ain't Bible. You've always heard it was an apple. I never said it was an apple. I'll just, you know, just for fun for later, more than likely it was a grapevine he was in. It was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but it was a grape tree. Then things will come out of the ground that thick and they'll go up and they'll weave around, and that snake was laying around in there and he was saying, "Hey, drink this, touch this. Here's a grape. This thing's good." God said, "Don't touch that. Nazarite, don't touch that. You want to be separated unto me? Don't touch that." Hence the endless debate, now I'm really going to step on your toes and I don't care, about whether or not it's okay to drink wine. Alright, now, that tree in life is probably an olive tree. But you got, you know, fruit. We'll run the references on fruit in your Bible. It's not always talking about sugary fruit. And avocados, technically a fruit, comes off a tree. I've seen lots of them, hey. Olives can come off a tree. Got to be careful. All right, look at chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2. We're almost done. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. Ye shall be as gods, knowing." You'll know. You'll have the knowledge of good and evil. Careful about that stuff. This week in the philosophy class, the instructor was telling the kids about how the Plato, I believe it was, believing the transmigration of souls. And she was saying, "I'm going to mess with some of you because you've always been brainwashed, like basically brainwashed by a religion. You view everything through your religious perspective." And she said, "I'm going to mess with you." And she said, "Men are born with some innate knowledge." Well, where does that innate knowledge come from? Transmigration of souls. That spirit that is in you was alive before, and now it's back in you, and you're born, and you got some natural, we all have an innate knowledge because of the transmigration of souls. And then my daughter raised her hand and said, "Well, what about if the transmigration of souls was true, then why don't we have some people that just have the knowledge of a two-year-old? Because two-year-olds die." Something to that effect. I said, "Dad, I don't think she likes me." I imagine she doesn't. She gives her a dirty look and starts putting her down. I said, "Honey, that's one of the best signs right there that you got him good. Now, don't forget to respect your teacher, but keep asking those questions with a smile, respectfully." Why? Well, when they can't beat you, they start putting you down. It's manipulative leadership. They start putting you down. Beware of that stuff. Why? Because it's not after Christ. "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." The triunity bodily. "In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead." Jesus Christ is God. "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." What do you mean, preacher? Well, I mean this. He's the head of all principality and power. Well, how is that possible? There's rebellious devils out there. He was their creator. He made them. A direct creation of God is a son of God. That's why you're born as procreation, mom and dad. The day you're born again, when God's Spirit works on your heart and you ask Him to come into your heart and save your soul, and that seed takes root in your spirit, you are born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That thing is a direct creation of God. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. For by grace He is saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I could go on and on and on. Your salvation was a direct act and creation of God Almighty. And that makes you a son of God. What about these guys? God set you and I up in such a way that this won't happen again. He's the head of those principalities and powers. He made them. That's why they come to him and they gather before him. And he says, hey, have you seen my servant Job? Yeah, but you won't let me touch him. All right. I got good plans for Job, so go ahead. What are we going to do about the situation? I will be a lion's tongue. Okay, go. All right, skip down to verse number 14, please, for the sake of time. But verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Watch it. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Who are they? There's principalities and powers there, Ephesians 6:12. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's principalities and powers. That's Psalm 20, 21, 22. Go read it. The bulls of Bashan compassed me about. The bulls of, what are you talking about? He's talking about the demons and the devil. No self-respecting demon or devil anywhere on the planet would be anywhere but at the cross at that moment. That was the whole focus right then and there. And they thought they got him. Hell had a party that day, man. It was Halloween like you ain't never seen it before. They did not realize what they had just done. They thought they got him. What he did is he came down, he was made in the likeness of men, right? That doesn't make him any more a sinner than the fact that Adam and Eve were made in the likeness of God at the beginning would make them God. Follow me? He came down in the likeness of man. He came down to bore our burdens. He was made like unto his brethren in the book of Hebrews. It behooved him to do that. He came down and he found a way around that thing to where he could save the soul. He could quicken that dead spirit. He could make you become a son of God. He could bring restitution between you and the God from which you fell and conquer the devil in such a way that there's nothing the devil can ever do about your soul, no matter what he can do to your life, your family, your finances, your house, no matter what he can do to your church, he can never get your soul because of what God did. It's a powerful thing, man. Now let me wrap this up. I want you to go with me, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 28. Look at Ezekiel, and we're going to look at Isaiah. Ezekiel chapter 28. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Grab Ezekiel chapter 28. Look at verse 11. Man, there's so much I just got to stop. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum. You're it. You got it. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He was a singer, tabrets and pipes. That's why he works so much in music. You want to move a man's spirit? Go read what Saul. Go read Saul. Go read what David did with Saul. You want to move a man's spirit? Turn on some music, boy. Start playing some of that heavy metal, that death metal that is roaring and roaring. And boy, you get a bunch of Celtics to come after you, man. You turn on some of that crazy rap, and you'll get a bunch of the Africans, boy. They'll come out and beat you half to death. Amen. You turn on some country music and you watch everybody sit around and start crying. Turn on them blues and man, people will be hammered, drunk, passing out, crying in their soup, thinking about every horrible thing that ever happened to them. He has a lot to do with music. That's why he tries to get into the church with the devil's music, Christian rock. That's like saying Christian liquor or Christian coke or Christian meth. That's insanity, man. Verse 14. the workmanship of thy pipes, end of 13, was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast what? Created. Directly from God. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee down to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Watch one more. Isaiah 14. Go back to the left. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Isaiah 14. Look at verse 9. We'll be done in this passage. Isaiah 14, 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. So there's people in hell already when Lucifer's heading there. Jesus Christ said it wasn't prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But he kept telling you, don't go there, don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, don't go there, don't go there. Not prepared for you. God prepared it for the devil and his angels, but those who would follow after the devil and listen to his voice, that's where they wind up. And so hell's moved for him as he's coming to meet him. It stirreth up the dead for thee. The dead people already there? Yep. Even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. Men been dying and going to hell forever. Satan's not even there yet. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou become weak as we? You're like a man. You're like a human. Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. Your pomp and circumstance right there. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. I don't have time. But there's so much to that right there, you wouldn't believe it. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Boy, he does too. Anybody here watching the news? Oh, Iran, the tensions, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Israel, the U.S., Russia, Korea. It just is nonstop. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Well, that's what we'll get. We're going to get to Mars. Moon ain't enough. We're going to get to Mars. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. Sides of the north. That's why I like living up north. Quit complaining about the winter. It's God's country. Amen. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And they've been telling you for centuries, you're little gods. You're like God. You're the image of God. We're God. We're God. Worship in Romans chapter 1. Worship and serve the creature more than worship in ourself. Well, that's so Luciferian and satanic, you wouldn't even believe it. The selfie generation. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm it, I'm it, I'm it. We're going to fix the planet. We're going to fix the problems. That's so Luciferian, you wouldn't even, you'd puke. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? And is this the what? Is this the what, did I say? The man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners, all the kings of the nations, even all them lie in glory. Every one in his own house, but thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch. And as the remnant of those that are slain thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit as the carcass trodden under feet. And on it goes. We'll stop there for the sake of time because I'm already over. I apologize. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to set you up to show you something next week and where we get some of these things from, and that it's Bible. And that those sons of God can be evil spirits that are coming before the Lord. And in Genesis chapter 6, they're producing a perverted race and generation of hybrids. And so now when you turn on your TV, you won't be able to enjoy those movies anymore. Let's dismiss in a word of prayer.